Shiva Prabhupada ki, Shiva Bhakti Vedanta ki, Grantara Shiva Bhagavatam ki, Giridas Maharaj ki, Goprema Anandi.
He's in the temple also.
There's a Shila. Yeah, that's part. I have to make a compromise. So if I'm going to leave my family 2 days a week. Yeah, that's possible. We shall see. We shall see.
Okay, so what did we discuss in last night's class?
Krishna consciousness is changing one's material desire to that of spiritual desire. By taking up higher pleasure, one gives up the lower material pleasure. And the way to do it is Shravanam Kirtanam, giving up of material desires, and develop a taste, Vasudeva Kataruchi, and Shraddha and Sadhu Sangha, the process to develop Krishna consciousness. In this chapter, Lord Krishna is showing his Aishwarya feature. And Krishna consciousness is Abhilasha, desire to go back to
Krishna. Yeah, good. Anything else?
One of the 64 qualities of Krishna mentioned in Nectar of Devotion is he is genius. He performs multiple tasks just by damage.
I like him. And the living entities can also have this quality to a degree. That Krishna has it to the greatest degree. So. Any other point?
You said in this chapter, Krishna is showing his openness, but it doesn't overcome the materialness. Materialness is still there.
Yeah. Anything else?
Krishna performs his childhood custom for attracting the living entities.
All the children settle down quickly. So, what's the point?
And then you say Vrindavan Leela gives you prema. So we have got his desire to go to Vrindavan.
Hmm. Okay. Anything else?
And the Krishna pastimes in the Vrindavan to be more strictly than any other incarnation.
Why? Okay, that's good. So, what's that? It attracts the other incarnations, yeah. Yeah, I mean, But the reason is because Krishna's pastimes are their sweetest pastimes. Krishna's pastimes have more of everything in them. More Aishwarya, more sweetness, more beauty, more everything. Expertise, finesse, everything. Every quality is heightened in Krishna's pastimes, particularly in Vrindavan. So last night we discussed the killing of one particular demon. His name was? Shakata Sura. What does Shakata mean? The cart demon. Okay. So I'll read a little bit about this personality. Chaitanya Shikshamrita by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So you understand. So what does Putana represent? The false guru. And there are two false gurus. Who are the two false gurus? The external and the internal. The internal means your mind.
And external is you dress up like a guru, but you are not.
Someone who's not qualified, yeah. And that, so these are two gurus. The Putana represents this. Shakata Sura represents a load-carrying mentality arising out of old and new habits. From this life and previous lives, So a load-carrying mentality arising out of old and new habits from this life and previous life. He also represents lethargy, dullness, and false pride. Krishna removes this contamination by kicking it aside. So did you get all that? Okay. So this is Shakadasura's position. Shakadasura is representing, I'll read a little bit more so you understand who he is. According to Garga Samhita, he had a body made of air. He tried to make the cart fall on Lord Krishna's head. In his previous life, he was a demon, a son of Hiranyaksha named Utkacha. He went to the hermitage of Lomasha Muni and broke some trees there and was cursed to become bodiless because he had a huge body. He then fell at the Muni's feet and begged for mercy. The Muni told him that in the next Manvantara, he would be touched by the foot of the Lord and be liberated. So Shakadasura was the son of Hiranyaksha. Hiranyaksha was huge, it describes. Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, they were massive, powerful. So Utkacha was also very powerful. He's the son of Hiranyaksha. So he just went to one of the sages' hermitages, and as he was walking in, he was just smashing all the trees and making big noise and big commotion in a very peaceful place. Just like if someone comes here into the temple and they start smashing things and like that, then we will attack them, we will remove them. It represents lethargy, dullness, and false pride, this demon, this anatta. And it is coming from old and new bad habits, from this life and previous lives. So we have the bad habit of being big and strong and like this, so it's an anatta. I can do whatever I want. Do you ever think like that sometimes? I can do whatever I want. Well, sometimes you say that to your parents. I can do whatever I want. Have you ever said that in your life? Hands up if you've never said that in your life. One. You're always good at everything. I can do whatever I want. I think everyone, only two people put their hand up, said they never said that. But we sometimes we say, especially as children, I can do whatever I want. Like that. So that's like, it's a mentality which we have from the previous lifetime and this lifetime. And Krishna kicks it aside. If you have that mentality, he will kick it. So this is Shakadasura. Okay. So Putana came in the form of a witch. The witch turned herself into a beautiful woman. So then Shakata thought, well, Putana's dead, so then I'll come in a more subtle form. I'll come like as a ghost, enter Vrindavan as a spirit, and enter into the cart. So more subtle than Putana. Putana just walked in, so it came like hiding. So then now, tonight we're going to hear about the next demon. So what's the next demon called? Trinavarta. So Trinavarta came as a? Well, like a big whirlwind hurricane, like that cyclone. So Trinavarta thought, Putana's dead. Putana hid herself, walked in. Shakadasura came in and hid in the cart. So I'll come as air. And just come in. No one can even see the air. You can't see the air. So he thought, I will come in even more subtly. No? But there's only one problem. Krishna. He knows everything. So even before he got there, he knew, okay, he's coming, he's ready. So Krishna's ready. So what does Trinavarta represent? Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Trinavarta represents the false pride produced by useless scholarship, which gives rise to wrangling debates and arguments, dry reasoning and dry logical indulgences in the association of people who attach to such things. It produces controversy which is disloyal to the path of pure bhakti, such as Mayavad and Buddhism. It is the breeding place of demoniac sinful philosophies. So Putana represents the false gurus, and Trinivata represents false philosophies. Because what does the whirlwind do? When the cyclone comes in, all the dust comes up, everyone gets blinded, they can't see properly, they can't see Krishna. So what happens is Trinivata represents these false philosophies which cover us, and then we can't see Krishna. And they just like to argue and debate. Do you ever meet sometimes people when you're preaching, they just like to argue and debate? Just want to, everything you say, they just, no, yeah, but what about this, but what about this, but what about this, like that. So it's false arguments and it just confuses the actual path of bhakti. So Trinivata represents this. Lord Krishna becomes moved by the humility of his devotees who carefully avoid this fault. And he strangles the demon and removes the thorn from his devotees' endeavors in devotional service. So Krishna doesn't like to see this, and he appreciates when his devotees are not like this. And he will strangle this philosophy. If Krishna sees it comes up, then he will deal with it. All these false philosophies which cover bhakti. According to the Brahma Vaivata Purana, in his last life, he was the king of Panjadesh, named Sahasraksha, who was cursed by Devasamuni for appearing naked before him while the king was enjoying with his 1,000 wives. He was cursed to live on earth for 100,000 years and then be killed by Lord Krishna.
What was his name, please?
His name was Sahasraksha.
Sahasraksha.
Which means
1,000
eyes, is it?
Yes.
No. No, it says that. Yeah, he was enjoying 1,000 wives, yeah. He was a powerful king. He was naked before Devasa, and Devasa said, okay, now you'll take birth for 100,000 years. Mm-hmm. So he gave him a heavy curse.
And what was the name of Shakadasura?
Shakadasura?
Yeah.
Utkacha. 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 Okay, any points?
So, you see that the curse is always of an elevated rupees of devotees are trying to be a blessing in the curse. Like, though they are in the material world for thousands of years, at the end they get killed by Krishna.
Whenever a devotee curses you, it's a blessing. Generally devotees don't curse you, they just chastise you, but that's a blessing. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says when a devotee chastises us, that means he's our real well-wisher, when he points out your faults or how to improve. We should desire that.
To be cursed.
No, I didn't say that. So. Any other points? Okay, so now we'll hear about Trinivarta. Feeling the child to be, one day, a year after Krishna's appearance, Mother Yashoda was patting her son on her lap. But suddenly she felt the child to be heavier than a mountain peak, and she could no longer bear his weight. So, Uddhava Bandhu Prabhu?
Sometimes the mother lifts her child. When the child falls in her hands, the child laughs. And the mother also endures pressure. That's what I used to do. But this time, Krishna became very heavy. And she could not bear his weight. Under the circumstances, it is to be understood that Krishna was aware of the coming of Pranavakasura, who would take him far away from his mother. Krishna knew that when Trinavarta came and took him away from his mother's lap, Mother Yashoda would be greatly worried. He did not want his mother to suffer any difficulty from him. Therefore, because he is the source of everything, then Mother Yashoda, he assumed the heaviness of the entire universe. The child was on the lap of Yashoda, who was therefore in possession of everything in the world. But when child assumed such heaviness, he had to put him down in order to give Trinavartasura an opportunity to take him away and play with him for some time before the child returned to the lap of his mother.
Okay, so what are the points there?
Lord can become heavy to the pleasure of his devotee. And we are
see this many times, we hear about Lord Jagannath. Lord Jagannath's car refuses to move till the pure devotee comes to take his darshan. I don't know which acharya is, but this acharya is running late to come for the rath yatra. But then the whole rath cart stops there. He will come. I can't remember which acharya.
Yeah, there's many pastimes with Jagannath. So. Good point. Anything else? So, Krishna is omniscient. So the defect of all these demons and the defect of Kamsa is that he thinks he can kill Krishna. So that is called avidya or ignorance. That's nisciance. You think you can kill God. How is it possible to kill God? It's not possible. So they're thinking they will kill, but Krishna knows the demon is coming. So Mother Yashoda, first of all, she thinks Krishna is becoming heavy. So she's playing a game with Krishna. You know, when you have the children, you throw them up. You're sitting down, you throw the kids up, like, and you catch them like that. You do that with your kids sometimes. Yeah, so like, we all do that. So when you have the little kid, you throw them up in the air and catch. So Krishna is enjoying it. Mother Yashoda is throwing him up and he's coming down. But in his mind, he's thinking, this is not high enough. You know, he's just going 2 or 3 feet and coming back down. He's thinking, I want to go right into the air. That's what he's thinking in his mind. So out of love for Mother Yashoda, he knows that Trinavada is about to come. Because he's omniscient. So he knows. That's the thing with Krishna. Krishna knows everything before it even happens. He knows everything you do, which is wrong, he knows you're going to do it before you even do it. Right? And when you do something wrong, you try to hide it from Krishna. Hands up if you ever tell lies sometimes. Good. Very honest devotees. That's good. Hands up, is anyone who never tells a lie? Oh, God. It's not very good. Yeah, sometimes speaking lies is allowed. Yeah, the Bhagavatam says that. So he knows that Trinavata is coming because he's completely omniscient. He knows everything. Before we even do things, Krishna knows everything's going to happen. So Trinavata is on the way, and then he makes himself heavy, very, very heavy. So Mother Yashoda is throwing him up, but then he's come so heavy she can't even throw him, and she has to put him down on the ground. And then Mother Yashoda, her first thought, what is the first thing that she thinks? She thinks it must be a witch or a demon making him heavy. Yeah? Because she saw Shakadasura, and when that happened, when the demon came into the cart and everything blew, she thinks everything is a witch or a demon, or, you know, that's why even 500 years ago when Lord Chaitanya was born, they called him Nimai. Why?
Because meat plant, it's a bit,
yeah, it said the ghosts do not go under the neem tree. That's why the neem tree is considered very sacred. Because the leaves are bitter. So the ghosts will not go under. That's not the reason, but they do not go under. It said it's because it's pavitra, it's pure. Antiseptic, so the ghosts will not go under. So it's considered to be a safe place. They call him Nimai after the neem tree that he was born next to, because then they thought this was auspicious. This will keep ghosts and spirits away. So in a Vedic culture, they have this kind of fear. A ghost will come or a spirit will come, or sometimes they may think like that, or some bad omen or some bad influence or demoniac or bad person. Just like you'll see even now, they put the black dots on the kids. Yeah? Has anyone got a black dot on them? Yeah, sometimes they put a black dot, like on the cheek. Yeah. So then if someone looks enviously at the child and thinks, oh, the child is very beautiful but has a black dot, they think, oh, he's not so beautiful because he has the black dot. So light repels the negative or envious glances. So it is said, and it's like that actually. If someone is envious of us and they look at us enviously, then it affects our subtle body. Sometimes there's people in your life that don't like you. And if they keep looking at you all the time like that, you see them every day, but they don't like you, it affects your subtle body. Yeah. So it is like in the Vedic culture, they're very careful about demons and ghosts and these things. So as soon as he becomes heavy, she thinks, oh, there must be a ghost or a demon. So she immediately calls for the Brahmanas. Come, do a jagya, do something auspicious, make everything go away. But Krishna, on his side, he's also impelled by love. The whole point of the Bhagavatam at this point is to understand one point. Right? It's to understand, yeah, rasa, or it's understand the level of prema being exchanged between Krishna and his devotees. This is the whole point. It's not about killing the demons and all these things. These are the secondary pastimes. They're naimittika lila. They're not the main pastime. The main pastime is the exchange of love between Krishna and his devotee. And how does the Bhagavatam become relishable? We relish the Bhagavatam when we begin to feel something of what is being exchanged between Krishna and Krishna's devotees. The love which is there between the Krishna and his pure devotees. Right? And that's why when we study the lives of the pure devotees, if we meditate on the love that they have for Krishna, that will gradually develop in our heart and our consciousness. So Mother Yashoda, she's only thinking of Krishna. Krishna is only thinking of Mother Yashoda. So he thinks, I don't want her to go through the distress that she has me in her lap and this demon's about to come in and grab me directly from her lap. So it's better that I go on the ground. I make myself heavy, she puts me on the ground. That will be less painful. So Krishna is always thinking like that. He doesn't want to see his devotees suffering. So he goes on the ground. She puts him on the ground out of love. She wants to find a brahmana. He goes on the ground because of heaviness. And then Krishna, he's just planning in his mind. He just wants to enjoy. So he's just waiting for the demon to come because he thinks this is going to be fantastic fun. Now you can imagine what it would be like getting on the back of Trinavata. Right? It would be a lot of fun. Just like some of the devotees, sometimes they go to the Gold Coast. They like to go to Dream World or Movie World. Did you go on those rides in Dream World or Movie World, these places? I know that you did. I know that you're not saying because you're amongst all the devotees, so you'll deny it in front of the devotees. But I know some of you have been on those rides. But they're a lot of fun. I've been on some of those rides.
What happened?
I'll tell you what happens. Very good fun, actually. Because sometimes I go to Moolamba to have a break, and some of the devotees I stay with, they have kids. So the kids, they keep saying to me, you've got to have to go to Dream World or Movie World. Brenda, put your fingers in your ears while I'm saying this. I want you to hear. I don't want you to become contaminated by this. So they said to me, come to Dream World, come to Movie World. So I said, no, I don't want to go. I don't want to go. But then one time they took me, and then I went on one of the rides, and now I'm addicted. I love this ride called the Green Lantern. It's like a roller coaster, and you go upside down and like that. So because I'm a devotee, I was thinking of this pastime with Trinavata and Krishna, like that. Because then I let go, and then I was thinking, this must have been what it was like when Trinavata and Krishna were on that. So I was completely Krishna conscious, even in the middle of movie world. Hare Krishna Mahamantra. I love that song. So the point is that this is a lot of fun, these things. To do these kind of flying through the air things, because we cannot do this in this world. It's not possible. We cannot fly in the air. We have to develop some machinery to do it. But Krishna had that desire. He wanted to go through the air like that. So then he arranged a demon to come in the form of the cyclone, pick him up, and then take him off into the air. So Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. He just wants to enjoy. He has no other impetus. And to facilitate his pastimes, he allows the demons to come in and then for him to go off and fly around. So this is you'll see in this pastime, there's one overriding principle. Krishna is just enjoying. Now, whether he's killing demons or whether he's with his friends or whether he's with the cowherd boys or whether he's with Mother Yashoda or whether he's with the gopis or with the cows or he's just walking through the forest and he's touching all the vines. It describes all these things in the 10th canto. Krishna is only enjoying. Right? And if we are a little intelligent, the Bhagavatam says, Sumedha Saha. What does Sumedha Saha mean? We studied this morning in the Bhagavatam. What was the Sanskrit this morning? It was Hana or something, or Hata Medasa. The Sanskrit was different. But Su means like good or auspicious. Sumedha Saha means intelligence. So if you have good intelligence, you'll work one thing out. We should be with Krishna right now. That is the entire point of this 10th canto. Krishna's enjoying, and Krishna just wants to come and enjoy, wants us to come and enjoy with him. And what do we do? Yeah, not now. Yeah, not now. We're more attached to be a insurance broker in the material world or whatever we're attached to. No? But Krishna wants us to just come and just enjoy. Because everything he does is simply enjoyment in the spiritual world. So this pastime is only for Krishna's pleasure. That's why Trinavata is coming. Otherwise, Krishna could stop him before he even gets to Vrindavan. But no, he allows him to come in just because Krishna has some desire that he wants to enjoy these pastimes. So, any points?
He must be very strong. Krishna assumed the heaviness of the whole world, and he could still lift him.
Yeah, he's a powerful demon.
Very powerful.
Very powerful demon. Too powerful.
Yeah.
Okay. Feeling the child to be as heavy as the entire universe and therefore being anxious, thinking that perhaps the child was being attacked by some other ghost or demon, the astonished mother, Yashoda, put the child down on the ground and began to think of Narayana. Foreseeing disturbances, she called out for the brahmanas to counteract this heaviness, and then she engaged in her other household affairs. She had no alternative than to remember the lotus feet of Narayana, for she could not understand that Krishna was the original source of everything. So, Leela Mai, you like to read them?
Mother Yashoda did not understand that Krishna is the heaviest of all living things and that Krishna rests within everything. Matstani Sarva Bhutani. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Maya Tatam Itam Sarvam Jagat Avyakta Murtina. Krishna is everywhere in his impersonal form, and everything rests upon him. Nonetheless, na chaham teshu avasthita. Krishna is not everywhere. Mother Yashoda was unable to understand this philosophy because she was dealing with Krishna as his real mother by the arrangement of Yoga Maya. Not understanding the importance of Krishna, she could only seek shelter of Narayana for Krishna's safety and call the Brahmanas to counteract the situation.
Mm. So what are the points there?
Vrindavan's speciality or the topmost point in Vrindavan is all the devotees there forget the godhood of God there. So that's the rasa actually. So we see that here as well from our Yashoda.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the point. So we see that she cannot break the mood of prema. Now we're dealing with pure prema or the highest level of prema. You'll see in the other pastimes, there is some acknowledgement or acceptance of Krishna's godhood. You'll see with the pastimes of Narayan in Vaikuntha, the pastimes of Nisringadev, the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra, even Krishna when Krishna is in Dwarka. There are so many Aishwarya pastimes. And the devotees have some mixture in their love for Krishna. Just like you'll see in Dwarka, much later in the 10th canto, that when Lord Brahma goes to visit Krishna, he sees hundreds of Brahmas and thousands of Shivas and all these things. So such supreme Aishwarya is there. But in Vrindavan, the devotees do not see Krishna in this way. The love for Krishna is so strong that Mother Yashoda, she cannot break her feeling of maternity, that Krishna is her son. She cannot break that under any circumstances. Even you'll see in a few verses at the end of the chapter, she sees the universal form within his mouth. It's still she cannot break. She just thinks the same thing. She thinks, oh, it's a demon. Everything that happens, she thinks, oh, there's a demon or a witch or something like that. And she cannot break the feeling like that. So this is what the Bhagavatam is calling out to us. The Bhagavatam is calling us, come back to Krishna. Come back to Krishna. Right? Break your attachments in this material world. And just love Krishna in a pure rasa. Right, in your original rasa, as a friend, as a lover, as a son, but develop this mood of prema. That is the goal of the Bhagavatam. But you have to stay awake. If you fall asleep in Bhagavatam class, you will never get prema. That's a fact. No one's falling asleep, but I'm just making the point. Devotees fall asleep. How do you get love for Krishna if you fall asleep? So...
I don't understand
What is that?
That's nandiles na chagram teswa avastheta. Means Krishna is not everywhere.
Yeah, that's just Prabhupada's comment he's making. Like, don't worry about that so much. That's not so important. But in it describes in this pastime, when she calls out to Lord Narayan to protect Krishna, she looks upwards into the sky. Where do we look when we call out to God? Right? People always say, oh, Krishna, oh, God, like that. So she's in Vrindavan. Krishna's right there in front of her. And what does she do? She says, oh, Narayan, Narayan, protect Krishna. Right? So God's right there, but she calls out to Narayan. And it says that in Nanda Maharaja's palace, he has a temple of Narayan. And all of the bhoga, which is cooked in the kitchen, is taken into the temple and offered to Lord Narayan, and they give the remnants, the prasad, to Krishna. Right? Because no one thinks that he's God. So they make sure it's all offered, and then make sure it's prasad, and then they give him the prasad. But they don't understand who he really is. And the pastime is there in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes when the brahmana comes and stays at Lord Chaitanya's house and Jagannath Mishra gives him facility to cook. And then he cooks, and then when he begins to ring the bell in front of his shalagram shili, he has the bhoga, and then Lord Chaitanya, Nimai, the little boy, runs in and starts picking the food off the plate. Right? And he does it 3 times. And finally, the last time he does it, everyone's asleep. And he comes in, and he picks the food. And then the brahmana says, why are you doing this? You're taking the Lord's food. And he said, well, you keep ringing the bell and telling me to come and eat everything. And then every time I come in and I eat everything, then you say, what are you doing? He said, don't you understand who I am? And then he reveals, I am Narayan. I'm God. Like that. And then he understands that this is the Supreme Lord. But in Vrindavan, they never think of Krishna like that. Even when it surfaces, because the acharyas, they comment, when you're cooking milk, right, and the milk is boiling, right, you have the fire under the milk and the milk is boiling, sometimes sticks come up or little pieces of grass. Right? In the village, you'll have little bits of grass or straw in the milk. So big pot of milk and you're boiling and then little bits come up. So sometimes in the love of the devotees in Vrindavan, this understanding comes up, oh, he's God. Huh? So they, you know, Mother Yashoda, she thinks for me, oh, he's God, and Nanda Maharaj thinks, oh, he's God. But then it just kind of boils, they just pick it off, throw it away, and then it just goes back to normal again. Huh? So they don't stay fixed in that conception. But sometimes they have the realization or understanding, he is God. Because he does too many extraordinary things to be an ordinary person. So. Any points?
Nanda Maharaj had when he was taken to Kubera.
Yeah. Yeah, that pastime, that's later on. That has some intricacies in that pastime. So.
Yeah, but then the young man makes them forget.
Yeah. Yeah. Any other points? Okay. Mm-hmm. While the child was sitting on the ground, a demon named Trinavarta, who was a servant of Kamsa's, came there as a whirlwind at Kamsa's instigation and very easily carried the child away into the air. So, Jamuna.
Krishna's heaviness was unbearable for the child's mother, but when Tanavatrasura came, he immediately carried the child away. This was another demonstration of Krishna's inconceivable energy. When the Tanavatra demon came, Krishna became lighter than the grass so that the demon could carry him away. This was Ananda Chinmaya Rasa, Krishna's blissful transcendental pleasure.
So.
Aniyo Aniyan Mato Maya, lighter than the lightest and heavier than the heaviest.
Any other points? So we see that the demon was simply a feature of Krishna's enjoyment in his lila. Same as when Indra came, you'll see in all these pastimes going through these chapters in Vrindavan, when Indra came and he rained on Vrindavan. I mean, and this, the rain was frightening. I don't know, has anyone ever been caught in a frightening rainstorm? You know, if you're from Fiji, you probably get it every 6 months or so, like that. So frightening. Sometimes you've been in this, I've been in storms which are frightening. One time I was in Mayapur and I was walking from near the Goshala back to the near the temple, and a storm came so quickly, and the wind was so, and then tin started flying around, and then I thought, well, maybe I'm going to die now, because the wind just came so quickly and so strongly. So it was frightening. And then I just thought to myself, well, maybe I'm going to die. I don't know. I can't. There's nothing I can do because, you know, the tin was flying and all sorts of things were happening. So when all of these pastimes take place, it is simply an impetus for Krishna to enjoy with his devotees. Yeah? For Krishna, it just increases the rasa in his leela. Trinavata comes, he enjoys that. When the rain comes with Lord Indra, Krishna goes under Govardhan Hill. Right? And what was the mood under Govardhan Hill? Yeah, everyone was in bliss. There was a whole festival going on under Govardhan Hill. Outside, there was a flood of devastation. And the flood, because Krishna lifted the hill, what happens when he lifted the hill? What was under the hill? There was like a valley under the hill. So what happens when it's flooding outside? All the water would have come under and drowned everyone, right? So how did Krishna stop that? How did he make the... Sudarshan Chakra was spinning around the hill so quickly, right? His chakra was evaporating all the water before it could come down. And then also, Anantasesh, a serpent, great serpent, he came and wrapped himself around the hill like a barrier. You know, we put sandbags, like when the floods come, like in Mayapur, everyone put sandbags there. So he made like a big barrier around the hill. So there was no... So all the devotees went to the hill with Krishna, and they were in ecstasy because they were with Krishna all day and all night. And once in a while, someone would look out on the side of the hill and they'd see this big serpent wrapped around. They thought, well, that's far out. Right? And then they see this chakra going around. They're just like, wow, that's amazing. But what they're really interested in was Krishna. Mother Yashoda was just saying, just put the hill down for a moment. You need something to eat. Right? Just rest. And the coward boys are saying, come on, your arm's sore. Change arms. Right? So it's just everyone was just enjoying themselves. There's no anxiety. Wherever there's Krishna, there's no anxiety. And when we forget Krishna, everything becomes lots of fun. So Krishna is just enjoying himself. Covering the whole land of Gokul with particles of dust, that demon, acting as a strong whirlwind, covered everyone's vision and began vibrating everywhere with a greatly fearful sound. Sharadarata, you like to read?
Trinavasura assumed the form of a whirlwind and covered with a dust. Is that the word?
Yes.
And covered with a dust storm the whole tract of land known as Golok, so that no one could see even the nearest
things.
It was so dark.
So any points there?
Lord Krishna covered everything and just enjoying himself.
Yeah. Anything else? So what do demoniac people do? They cause fear in others. Just like you see sometimes you're walking down the street at night and some person walks past, you can just see this person and they're inauspicious. You know, they're like a dark person. You can feel the vibration. So it creates fear in others. So these asuras, they're like that. They create fear in other personalities. And Krishna doesn't like it when his devotees are fearful. So immediately he comes to rectify the situation. So when these different demons come into Vrindavan, Krishna is very heavy on them. When he kills them, he really pulverizes them. Now, you'll see what he does to the description of Trinavata. You know, he really crushes him. You know, and Keshi, when he gets Keshi, he really... And Arishtasura, when he gets Arishtasura, You know, it's terrible what he does to Arishtasura. He absolutely pulverizes him. So Krishna does not like to see fear in his devotees. So if he sees fears, then immediately he will attack. For a moment, the whole pasturing ground was overcast with dense darkness from the dust storm, and Mother Yashoda was unable to find her son where she had placed him. Because of the bits of sand thrown about by Trinavarta, people could not see themselves or anyone else, unless they were illusioned and disturbed. Because of the dust storm stirred up by the strong whirlwind, Mother Yashoda could find no trace of her son, nor could she understand why. Thus she fell down on the ground like a cow who had lost her calf and began to lament very pitifully. When the force of the dust storm and the winds subsided, Yashoda's friends, the other gopis, approached Mother Yashoda. Hearing her pitiful cry, not seeing Krishna present, they too felt very much aggrieved and joined Mother Yashoda in crying, their eyes full of tears. So, Chaitanya Lila, you like to read them? Yeah.
This attachment of the gopis to Krishna is wonderful and transcendental. The center of all the activities of the gopis was Krishna. When Krishna was there, they were happy, and when Krishna wasn't there, they were unhappy. Thus, when Mother Yashoda was lamenting Krishna's absence, the old ladies also began to cry.
So, what are the points there?
There was so much attached to Krishna.
Yeah. Anything else? Yeah, that's good. So, this attachment to Krishna is completely transcendental. And as long as we have material desires, we cannot fully experience this. That's why some devotees, they will read this and they will find it dry, tasteless. And same with the holy name. Rupa Goswami says, as long as you don't have not developed your taste for chanting the holy name, it may appear like it is bitter. Rupa Goswami says the name Krishna is so blissful that when he hears those two syllables, Krishna, then he wishes that he had millions of ears to hear that sound and millions of tongues to relish the chanting of that name, Krishna. But we don't have any taste. So what happens? We read the Krishna book, we fall asleep. Or we fall asleep chanting our japa. Because we do not have taste. So when you have taste for all of this, then you will relish it. If you do not have taste, you may even find it dry and monotonous or boring. But a devotee, he relishes this. But you have to be on the transcendental plane. To actually relish Krishna's pastimes, you have to transcend material desires. If you have material desires, any lust in the heart or any material desires in the heart, you can't fully relish Krishna's pastimes. So the Vishaya Charya, which Narottam Das Thakur says, the desire for sense gratification or sense objects, that has to be removed from the consciousness. Then you can understand Vrindavan as it is. So here we are seeing, by studying the love of the residents of Vrindavan, so what was the emotion of all of the elderly gopis when they heard Mother Yashoda was lamenting out of separation from Krishna?
They had the same feeling.
They had the same feeling. What did they do?
They were also crying.
So they also felt what she was feeling. And this is basically, this is India. Right? If one person is crying, the other person walks in and says, what's going on? Then they start crying, then the next person comes, the next minute the whole village is crying. That's what it's like. Why? Because the hearts are soft. And when the heart is soft, then one automatically will feel what the other person is feeling. And if your heart is soft, if someone else is in pain, you will feel that pain. So anugacha means that the gopis, when they came and they saw Mother Yashoda was feeling separation, they also felt that. So what sort of Vaishnavas are we? What are we known as? In our tradition. We are called the? Very good, yeah. Rupanugas. We are the Rupanuga Vaishnavas. It means we're meant to follow in the mood of Rupa Goswami. Right? And now, who is Rupa Goswami in all of this? Rupa Manjari. So who is Rupa Manjari? Radharani's first assistant. She hasn't entered the pastimes yet. Radharani has not entered the pastimes yet. She's coming in future chapters. So we're meant to feel what Rupa Manjari, Rupa Goswami, is feeling as a servant of Srimati Radharani. That is called Rup Anuga. Anuga means to follow. Anugacha means to follow or to perceive. Right? And for us, what does that mean? On our level as a sadhaka, it means that we have to feel what the spiritual master is feeling in his service to Krishna. Just like, you know, on Saturday we celebrated Kanamakanan Swami's Vyasa Puja yesterday, Srila Jayapataka Swami's Vyasa Puja. So what's the whole point of Vyasa Puja? If you don't walk away from Vyasa Puja and you have not connected more deeply to your guru and you do not understand what he is feeling and what his mood is in serving Krishna, then what was the point of all the celebration and the glorification and the festivities? That's the whole point of devotional service. We're meant to be feeling what the spiritual master is feeling. We're meant to be feeling what the advanced devotees who we aspire to follow, what they are feeling. Yeah? And we're meant to be feeling what the residents of Vrindavan are feeling. And what are they feeling? Right? Everyone's crying. So what are we all doing? We should all be crying right at the moment. We should be so caught up in this pastime that we should be also feeling, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? I remember years ago, we're at Vrindavan during the Golpanim festival. And you know, have you been to Vrindavan during the festival when they flood the courtyard? Sukadev Prabhu, you probably flooded the courtyard. You've done that service probably. Yeah, so they flood the courtyard and then they bring the deities onto the swan carrier and they take the deities around. Yeah, it's a boat. Yeah, when I was there, it was like a swan, in the shape of a swan.
And my husband said that they do it.
Yeah, they do it around Golpanim time. Yeah. Yeah, it's part of the festivals in Vrindavan. They flood the courtyard and then the deities go around on the boat. So one year when I was there, then the Gurukulis, they performed the drama of Aglasura. So then from the side, everyone was watching the boat, and then suddenly this big snake kind of came in like that, and it opened up its big mouth. It was huge, like, you know, an actual big snake, like 6 foot high, big mouth opened up, came in like, you know, like that. It came in from one of the doors on the side. And the boys were having a drama, and they ran in to like that. One of them was Krishna and the cowboys, and they ran into Agasura's mouth like that. So Shivaram Swami, I was watching him. He was watching the drama. He stood up, and he was like, like that. He was right into the drama. He was like, you know, and he's a sannyasi. Yeah, but he was like a little boy. You know, he just stood up and he's like, whoa. Like this. You know, I could say he was so into the drama like that. And everyone else is like, you know, everyone was scared to stand up, you know. Because we stand up, everyone will think, oh, what are you doing? You know. Because that's because we're not identifying with the pastimes. But when you identify with the pastimes, you feel the feelings of the resonance in the pastimes. That's the whole point. That's what we're studying here. It's not just dry books, you know. Your exam is coming up at the end of chapter 8. We're going to finish chapter 7 tonight. So your exam's in 2 weeks or in 3 weeks, the first exam. Right? So the whole reason of studying this is not so you can write on your exam, oh, Shakadasura represents this and Trinavada represents. It's not all about, that's not what this is about. It's about identifying with the love of the residents of Vrindavan. That's what we're studying this for. And if we miss that, then we miss everything. So this is advanced, but this is the 10th canto. This is what it is. So we have to try to, and at least if some of it comes into our consciousness, at least if some of it comes into our heart, we'll be successful. We won't develop prema by the end of the 10th canto, but at least if something is happening, some purification is happening. That's the point. So any points? Okay. Having assumed the form of a fearful whirlwind, the demon Trinavarta took Krishna very high in the sky, but when Krishna became heavier than the demon had to stop his force and could had to stop his force and could go no further. So Prabhupada points out in the purport, Trinavarta's defect is that he is acting like an asura. So Krishna says in chapter 16 of the Gita, there are asuras and asuras. So we have a choice every day, because it says in Kali Yuga, the asura and the sura are in the same body. So we have a choice every day. Do we want to serve Krishna or rebel against Krishna? So what is Trinavarta? What is his mistake? Right? He's trying to kill Krishna, right? He should be coming into Vrindavan as a servant and saying, Krishna, why don't you hop on my back and I'll take you into the sky, right? And then you can ride around on me as a servant. But instead of doing that, he's coming as a demon. He's trying to kill Krishna. So Prabhupada points out in the purport that we have to change our consciousness, right? Every day, a part of us doesn't want to serve Krishna. Every day, a part of us doesn't want to surrender to Krishna and the Guru. Every day, a part of us doesn't want to finish our rounds. You know? We have this demoniac mentality that has to be cleansed from our consciousness. One time the devotee said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, I don't feel like bowing down to you. Prabhupada said, you should do it anyway, and then the feeling will come. So the devotee was being honest. Sometimes you might not feel like bowing down, but you have to do it anyway. Sometimes you don't feel like getting up early and going to Mangalati, but you have to do it anyway. Sometimes you don't feel like chanting your rounds, but you have to do it anyway. Sometimes you don't feel like studying the Bhagavatam, but you have to do it anyway. Sometimes you don't feel like coming on time for the Bhakti Vedanta class, but you have to do it anyway. Sometimes you don't feel like giving gulab jamuns to your Bhakti Vedanta teacher, but you have to do it anyway. This is sadhana bhakti. Otherwise, how else will you pass your exam? I'm more than willing to fail you if you don't.
But sometimes really the destiny is so strong. It was his destiny to be killed by Krishna. So what could he do?
No, it's not destiny. It's free will. Sorry? It's free will. If he had to surrender to Krishna, if he was in the air, Krishna grabbed him around the neck and was choking him. And if he'd have changed in his heart and said to Krishna, Krishna, I surrender to you, then Krishna would have forgiven him. But he didn't do that.
But sometimes the
destiny is so strong. Destiny is made up of free will.
Yeah?
Yeah. Okay. Because of Krishna's weight, Trinavarta considered him to be like a great mountain or a hunk of iron. But because Krishna had caught the demon's neck, the demon was unable to throw him off. He therefore thought of the child as wonderful, since he could neither bear the child nor cast aside the burden. So, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, one of the reasons why Krishna wanted to fly into the air because he wanted to fly and enjoy himself. Another reason was because the ladies in Swaga, the wives of the demigods, they wanted to see Krishna and they were looking down at Vrindavan. So Krishna looked up, he was on Mother Yashoda's lap, and he looked up and he saw them all looking at him. And he said, oh, okay, I'll come closer. You want to see me? So I'll come closer. So Krishna reciprocates with the desires. He says in the Gita, Yeya tamam prapajante tams tataiva bhajamyaham. If you have a desire, I will reciprocate with you. So because they wanted to see him, then Krishna thought, okay, I'll come. I'll come close and you can see me. And also, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur points out that Krishna was acting like he was fearful to make Trinavarta confident. Trinavarta was thinking, oh, Krishna is very scared. So what do you do when you're very scared? If you're riding around, say, on your father's back, your father's running around, you're very scared, right, and you're on his back, then you hold on very tight. So Trinavada thought, oh, Krishna's very scared because he's holding on to me tightly. Krishna was just enjoying himself. He was just thinking, this is fun, right? And he was just waiting to go, just to choke him like that. But he thought, oh, he's very scared, so he's holding me tight. So there's no anxiety in Krishna's consciousness. But Trinavada was, at this point in time, there's no anxiety, but very soon it changes. He is at the moment, but it changes now. With Krishna grasping him by the throat, Trinavata choked, unable to make even a sound or even to move his hands and legs. His eyes popping out, the demon lost his life and fell, along with the little boy, down to the ground of Braj. So would you like to be treated like this? Someone grabs you around the neck and pulls you so hard that your eyes go pop out of your head and your body just goes limp like that. So that's how Krishna treats the demons. And that's how Krishna deals with our demoniac desires. If we have desires in our consciousness to be separate from him, then he will come down on those desires in due course of time. Sometimes he's soft, but when he wants to, he just crushes. It gives you heavy reactions. While the gopis who had gathered were crying for Krishna, the demon fell from the sky onto a big slab of stone. His limbs dislocated as if he had been pierced by the arrow of Lord Shiva, like Tripurasura. So why does Krishna put the devotees through this? We'll see this again and again and again in nearly every chapter from now on. It's Krishna killing a different demon. So why does he put everyone into anxiety?
Because it creates attachment and rasa.
Yeah. Yeah, increases the attachment. It heightens the attachment. That's why he does it to everyone. No? He wants them to become more attached to him. Just like if your child runs out onto the road, you run out to grab the child, and then you become more attached to the child. So in this way, when Krishna does all these things, it just increases the attachment. So even in the spiritual world, there's no demons, but in the spiritual world, Krishna does all of these kind of pastimes all the time. He's continuously increasing the attachment of the devotees to him. He heightens everything, and then that's why with the gopis, it's the entire relationship is parakeya bhava, which means unmarried. It's not swakya. Swakya is in dwarka. But in Vrindavan, there's always parakeya. Because the separation periods, when Krishna is separated from the guy, it just increases the attachment. And then when the sambhog comes, the union, then everything becomes more relishable. So Krishna purposely does all these things just to stir the rasa and just to increase the attachment of the devotees. Sri Krishna Chandra Bhagavan, a key?
Jai.
The gopis immediately picked Krishna up from the chest of the demon and delivered him, free from all inauspiciousness, to Mother Yashoda. Because the child, although taken into the sky by the demon, was unhurt and now free from all danger and misfortune, the gopis and cowherd men, headed by Nanda Maharaj, were extremely happy. So read the purport. Yogi, you want to read?
Was Lord Krishna on the top of his body?
He was on his chest.
On his chest.
The demon fell flat from the sky, and Krishna was playing on his chest very happily, uninjured and free from misfortune. Not at all disturbed because of being taken high in the sky by the demon. Krishna was playing and enjoying. This is Ananya Chinmaya Rasa Vigraha. In any condition, Krishna is Satchitananda Vigraha. He has no unhappiness. Others might have thought that he was in difficulty. But because the demon's chest was sufficiently broad to play on, the baby was happy in all respects. It is most astonishing that although demons were so high in the sky, the child did not fall down. Therefore, the child has been saved virtually from the mouth of death. Now, he was saved, all the inhabitants of Vrindavan were happy.
Hmm. So any points there? Hmm. So wherever there is Krishna, everything becomes
auspicious.
Like that. So it's like in the temple. Prabhupada says the temple should feel like Satyayuga. When you walk in the temple, it just feels auspicious. Our home should be like that. Because we're worshipping Krishna. Wherever we're chanting the holy name, wherever we're doing any service, whenever we're with the devotees, everything should feel auspicious. So we should feel that is the effect of Krishna's association. Because the holy name represents Krishna. It is Krishna. The Bhagavatam is Krishna. The devotees represent Krishna. The holy Dham represents Krishna. The deities are non-different from Krishna. So whenever you're in the association with any of these major components or items of bhakti, then you will feel auspiciousness and you'll feel Krishna's presence. When everything when Krishna is present, everything becomes sublime, transcendental and ecstatic. Shri Krishna Chandra Bhagwan Aki. It is most astonishing that although this innocent child was taken away by the Rakshasas to be eaten, he has returned without being killed or even injured. Because this demon was envious, cruel, and sinful, he has been killed for his own sinful activities. This is the law of nature. An innocent devotee is always protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and a sinful person is always vanquished for his sinful life. So Krishna always protects those who are innocent. So as devotees, we should be innocent and simple-hearted. Krishna doesn't like duplicity. If you're duplicit with Krishna's devotees, Krishna will crush you and take your ego. But if you are very simple-hearted, it's actually a quality of a devotee. A devotee is simple. Maitra. That's one of the 26 qualities of the devotee. Maitra means friendly. Devotees are not duplicit. We don't say something or do something and then actually mean something else. That's not a devotional quality. Devotees should just be very straightforward, very simple-hearted, innocent. And when he's like that, then Krishna protects him. And when you're not like that, then Krishna will... He doesn't like it when you're duplicit. With him or with his devotees. Sometimes you'll even go before the deities. And if you try to be duplicit with the deities, like you say, I'll do something, then you don't do it, then Krishna doesn't like that. Krishna always maintains his word. He says in the Gita, declare it boldly. My devotee will never perish. That's his word. So Krishna does not like it when we do not keep our word. That's why Rupa Goswami says in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the Nectar of Devotion, he says, do not take vows in front of the deities. And we take our initiation vows. But you don't go to the deities and say, oh, I will do this. Because then if you can't do it, or Krishna doesn't desire it, then you break your vow. So you have to be very careful about these things. Unless you're very advanced. Like Prabhupada would sometimes vow in front of the deities. But you have to be very sure if you're going to. Nanda Maharaj and the others said, we must previously have performed austerities for a very long time, worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, perform pious activities for public life, constructing public roads and wells, and also given charity, as a result of which this boy, although faced with death, has returned to give happiness to his relatives. Having seen all these incidents in Brihadvan, Nanda Maharaj became more and more astonished, and he remembered the words spoken to him by Vasudev in Mathura. One day, Mother Yashoda, having taken Krishna up and placed him on her lap, was feeding him milk from her breast with maternal affection. The milk was flowing from her breast, and the child was drinking it. O King Parikshit, when the child, Krishna, was almost finished drinking his mother's milk and Mother Yashoda was touching him and looking at his beautiful, brilliantly smiling face, the baby yawned. And Mother Yashoda saw in his mouth the whole sky, the higher planetary system and the earth. the luminaries in all directions, the sun, the moon, fire, air, the seas, islands, mountains, rivers, forests, and all kinds of living entities, moving and non-moving. When Mother Yashoda saw the whole universe within the mouth of her child, her heart began to throb, and in astonishment, she wanted to close her restless eyes. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, what does he say she thought when she saw this? She just thought this is a witch or a demon. Whenever this happens, Krishna becomes heavy, or she looks in the eyes, or sorry, into his mouth, and she sees these things. She just thinks this some demon is doing some mischief, or some witch. I have to call the brahmanas, and we'll do something auspicious like that. So she always thinks like this. She always thinks that it is something to protect Krishna. And even Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, she was tickling his belly. You know, when the babies are young, you tickle their belly. And she was looking at his belly, and then in his belly, suddenly she saw the whole universe. And she thought, what is this? Some demon. And then she calls out. She says, Narayan, Narayan, and then disappears. She thinks, oh, well, that's... So it doesn't break her mood at any time. Okay. So next week we'll study chapter 8. What is chapter 8 called? Yeah, the universal form. So for a second time, she'll see the universal form. Yeah. At Brahmandagat, yeah. In Vrindavan. Sri Krishna Chandra Bhagwan, a key. Srila Prabhupada, a key. Joy Nitoi Go Premanandi.